This is Best Practice on RN, the ABC Radio app, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Richard Adie. It's in a company's interest to try and get the most out of its employees. But if you're working too hard, putting in too many hours, it could well affect your productivity, not to mention your life outside of work or your family. Chris Jackson, a professor in the School of Management at the University of New South Wales, has studied workaholics. So let's start with a definition.
Okay, so I think a workaholic is someone who has a compulsive desire to work, and that can be through the fact that they enjoy work or they could feel driven to work.
A lot of organisations produce statements about work-life balance, as if work's not part of life, but anyway, and more or less say the right things, but a lot of organisations seem to have an interest in getting us to work as hard as possible regardless.
I think that's right. Modern organisations are often driven by goals, and we have to meet those goals. So the goals are often set quarterly or annually, and when we meet the goals, the goals simply go up. So we get driven more and more to work harder and harder in the short term, whatever the long term cost.
Is there a line between working hard and being a workaholic?
I think there is a difference between working hard and being a workaholic. Working hard is something that, you know, probably people should do to earn the money which they are working for. On the other hand, a workaholic is somebody who's doing much more than that, who's in early, working very late, working 7 days a week, sacrificing family time in order for the organisation to be successful and presumably for that individual to be successful as well. But there are long-term costs associated with it. Whereas working hard, the long-term costs are much less.
All right, you've studied personality types and the workaholic. Are there, because one tends to think, well, workaholics are workaholics, but they're not all the same, are they?
No, that's right. And potentially different people have a different predisposition to become workaholics or even to become workaholics in different ways. So let's understand workaholism in terms of people enjoying work and being driven to work.
Okay.
So there are those two elements which are widely recognised as being the ingredients of becoming a workaholic. So different personality types will be attracted to one or both of those two different dimensions of workaholism.
All right. So let's deal with the more positive sounding one, which is enjoying work.
Yes.
What sort of personality type are we talking there?
Well, so there are people who love to receive rewards. Extroverts, people who want to approach good things, are the kind of people who tend to enjoy work. And as a result of that enjoyment, of course, they can take it too far.
And the people who are driven to work rather than particularly about enjoying it.
Mm. Well, so again, people who want to avoid doing the wrong thing. In psychology, we'd say people who want to avoid punishment. So, of course, it could be getting into trouble with the boss, not earning enough money, having worries about various different things. Anxious people tend to be the people who are driven to work hard.
That's what I was thinking. Those people, there's an anxiety there about not getting it wrong, about making sure you're getting it right. And that, well, I imagine there's maybe some overlap, but it sounds quite different from being at work because you find it rewarding.
That's right. So there are both positive and negative drivers of workaholism. As the approach and avoidance systems are big biological systems in the human brain, potentially you can see how workaholism is a big factor in people's lives.
It also sounds like, depending on the kind of personality that's linked with the workaholism, it sounds like it's going to be connected to the kind of work you do, or at least the level that you're at.
Yes, and so what we have found is that amongst more blue-collar workers, both extroversion and anxiety can be driving workaholism. Whereas in managers, it's much more associated with the positive aspects like extroversion, which drives workaholism.
Right. But maybe the people further down at the bottom of their teams, if they've got workaholism, it might be the anxiety.
That's right. And of course, it could be that people who worry a lot don't get to become managers.
Indeed. All right. Well, what is the approach to trying to deal with this then, Chris?
Okay. So I don't think organizations will feel it's in their best interest to try and discourage workaholism. They love the idea of encouraging workers to innovate, to work hard, to become intrinsically motivated, to become enthusiastic. The idea that people would come in at 7 o'clock of their own accord or even earlier and finish at midnight. Well, organizations enjoy that. They think it's a good thing and it's going to improve their profit margin. So although organizations may pay lip service towards work-life balance, they don't put that much effort into it. So I think a lot of it comes down to personal responsibility and recognition that life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. So we really have to take care of ourselves and we have to have a measured approach to that which we do.
But surely a more thoughtful workplace will realise that it's not going to be doing them any good to have people in there for very long hours for whom perhaps productivity and certainly imagination is not at its peak.
That's right. And burnout is a well-recognised phenomenon that is likely to occur in workaholics more than others. So I quite agree with you. And organisations should take great deal of care to ensure that people don't work too hard. But on the other hand, they also have their short-term goals, which they need to meet.
This tension tends to be settled in favour of the short-term. Is that what you're saying?
And I think that is right, both for individuals and for the organisation. So we come to a point where all parties are thinking workaholism is a good thing, whereas, of course, it isn't. How can we be sure that we do actually work harder by putting in all those long hours? Potentially putting in a short amount of time, which is quality time, might actually make us more productive. On the other hand, of course, the boss might not be so impressed.
That's it. The problem is that we're going to have rewards coming to people for working hard. And as you've said, companies are paying lip service to this because what they want is intrinsic motivation that gives hard work. The problem is that it doesn't always lead to high productivity or good quality of work.
That's right. But you know, the boss is impressed if you come in early and you work late. So from that perspective, everyone thinks you're doing great. You don't necessarily, however, achieve the same level of performance as somebody who comes in less.
I'm beginning to feel this is not a solvable problem, Chris.
I think like many things, we need to be thinking about how we can better self-regulate our lives so we can take personal responsibility for the journey that we're in.
How self-aware are workaholics that they have a problem?
Probably not that aware until their life disintegrates from under them, potentially in terms of divorce, potentially in terms of alienation from their kids, or potentially because their actual motivation to work has decreased hugely as a result of burnout.
But that's precisely what you want to avoid, isn't it? I mean,
that's right. By then it's too late.
Yeah.
So by then we have a wreck.
Are there any ways at all of fostering a kind of self-knowledge before that problem, which sounds catastrophic the way you phrase it, actually teaches us that we do have a big problem?
Well, I think there is. So, you know, for example, we don't have to be fixated on just one form of reward. So the excitement of work is just one of the motivations which can drive us to enjoy life. So why don't we find other forms of enjoyment of life and not just become fixated on work?
Is this something that people in the team can talk to a supervisor about, or is it unlikely to be welcomed or certainly acted upon because of this inherent bias in organisations for wanting people to work hard?
I think in a good organisation, where there are good managers, it's a conversation that should be had, for sure. Unfortunately, the world isn't always full of great organisations, great managers.
A really good manager should be able to say, should be able to see it and say, I think you're working too hard and I think you should step back a bit.
That's right. And in fact, that could actually develop a stronger bond with the member of staff, which would actually only increase the success of the team in any case.
And you could frame it actually in a positive way and say, Chris, I think you're working too hard. I don't think we're getting the best out of you. So have some time off and don't keep coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. But on the other hand, think of the metrics which drive so many organisations. Universities are a great example where, you know, pretty much all universities across the world are fighting to be in the top 50. With that kind of short-term thinking that's going on, it's not really feasible for managers to be saying, well, you know, maybe you should take some time off because you're working too hard. Actually, what they want is for you to be working harder and harder.
If you are listening to this now and this is there's someone in your life who you can see is working too hard, perhaps you should have a little chat.
I think maybe a big chat would be in order.
Thanks for coming in today.
It's a pleasure.
Professor Chris Jackson from the University of New South Wales School of Management.